Thank you, Dennis. As Dennis alluded to, we're going to talk a little bit now about, we've seen the results that Andy had presented, but we wanted to look at, are there other attributes of the organizations that might influence how well they did in this, so this moderation analysis. I have the same disclosures as Andy did with doing some consulting work with the Niatex Foundation. I'm going to jump right to what we were looking at in the moderator variables. Niatex was founded on five principles of organizational change: understanding the customer, fixing a key problem, identifying a powerful change leader, getting ideas from outside the field as well as maybe being influenced by outside pressures, and implementing rapid cycle change processes. So we wanted to try to figure out how could we mimic those quality improvement indicators in this moderation analysis. So we used a couple of scales to look at that. The organizational change manager that was developed by Dr. David Gustafson looked at organizational readiness for change, and it had 15 factors and 60 questions that we could look at and explore questions around understanding the customer or executive sponsor engagement. The second scale that we used to try to estimate this was a sustainability propensity. Again, Dr. Gustafson developed this with the British National Health Service. It was 10 questions looking at processes, staff involvement, and organizational attributes related to sustainability. And again, we were trying to find a couple of questions out of that that would be tied to the five principles. We also included the organizational management score. Andy alluded to that, and Kyle alluded to that, that we looked at that in terms of participation. That particular instrument, in terms of an overall practice of management, also allowed you to look at the influence of management practices around quality improvement. It had a subscale, so that's the one we used there. And then we looked at a series of organizational attributes, more static attributes of the organization, and we kind of used this research by Fields and Roman to help guide that process. These are the moderators, the quality improvement ones we looked at. We looked at executive sponsor support. Again, that's related to the five principles. The outside pressure for change, whether or not the implementation plan was simple, was kind of meant to be a proxy for the rapid cycle PDSA changes that we did. Understanding the customer, then you had administrator management involvement and also clinic leadership involvement. From the sustainability instrument, we not only looked at the overall propensity, but we looked at the credibility of the benefits. You know, did the staff believe that the benefits of the change was going to make a difference in the organization? We looked at senior leadership support and then the fit within the organization, and that alludes to how well did the change fit with the organization's strategic plan. So if you think going back to the whole idea of, is this going to help solve a key problem? I mentioned the inclusion of the quality improvement for management practices. And in terms of the organizational attributes that we used as moderators, we looked at the size of the agency. And we didn't look at it in terms of admissions, but we looked at it more in terms of the natural log of the FTEs. That seems to be the common definition of size in the substance abuse treatment literature and other research. We also had asked the organizations, how many CEOs had you had in the last 5 years? So we categorized that in terms of either one or more than one CEO in the last 5 years. We asked also identify whether or not they were a freestanding drug and alcohol facility versus other types of drug and alcohol facilities, including social service agencies or child welfare agencies. We looked at their nonprofit status, whether or not that was yes or no. We also looked at where they were located geographically. We didn't have a lot of rural agencies that joined. This could have been potentially because of the distance for traveling to get to some of the sessions, the recruitment meetings. So we were pretty much able to classify the agencies. They were either in an urban area or kind of a non-urban area, so kind of a really large city versus a smaller city. And then we also looked at their accreditation with Joint Commission or CARF, and either they were accredited or they were not accredited. So when we looked at the analysis, we followed the same analysis that Andy described in the main outcomes paper, where we were looking at the average change in wait time and continuation. For the quality improvement moderators, as well as the one for size, we decided to kind of look at the extremes. So we wanted to look at, we created three groups. We rank ordered the scores on those particular things, and we said, okay, those agencies, some agencies scored really low. The staff perception, for example, of outside pressure being there was really low or non-existent. Some agencies, the staff perception, it would have been high, that there was a lot of outside pressure that was driving the change, or they kind of fell in the middle somewhere. And then we had the organizational moderators. I've kind of already talked about how we define those. So the particular survey that we use, we administered these surveys at multiple points in time, but we only explored the impact of the moderator at baseline when we first started the study, because the idea is that what we're hoping to learn from this moderation analysis are there attributes that could be assessed at the beginning of a study that may give us an indication of how well an organization is going to do given the intervention that they might be working with. So we looked at that from just an overall contribution of the moderator, no interaction with the arms, and then we looked at the interaction with the arms. And this is an ongoing analysis as we're trying to unravel what we're learning from the process. So this is a busy slide, but I tried to only highlight those that are significant in terms of just there's no interaction. We're just looking at the relationship between the moderator and the overall improvement in waiting time or continuation. We don't really see a lot of them that are significant at the 0.05 level or less. There are a few that are significant. The overall propensity to sustain change, a sense that the staff felt like this was a fit within the organization, or more well-managed organizations appear to do a little bit better for the overall waiting time. And then for continuation, we just had a few in terms of executive sponsor support, and then the number of CEOs in the last 5 years. When we looked at the other moderators, this table, I was trying to capture how people are doing. So there are a couple of things with the check marks. So where there's a check mark, the moderator had some significant impact on the performance of the agency within one of the intervention arms for a specific aim. So, for example, and then we see that there are two check marks that are in red. That was significant at P is less than 0.05, and the other was less than 0.1. So we don't see too many of the moderator variables that are significant at the 0.05 level. We see executive sponsor support seem to make a difference in terms of performance in the interest circle arm as it relates to waiting time, as did their location, urban versus non-urban. And we see that accreditation appeared to make a difference in performance in the learning session arm. And then for the full arm, the overall likelihood, the staff's perception that they were going to sustain this change seemed to make a difference in terms of waiting time performance. For continuation, there are, again, not a lot of significant variables. We've got change leader, perceptions of change leader engagement for the full arm. We've got the overall sustainability propensity, as well as the perception by staff that there was outside pressure to make change in the continuation arm. And then the number of CEOs in the coaching arm seemed to make a difference in terms of continuation. What I also think is interesting here is that there are, in general, if you kind of did a quick hand tally, there are more moderators that seem to be influencing performance in the intra-circle arm for both waiting time and continuation, and it really stands out in the continuation that there are a lot of these moderators that have some significant influence. I'm going to get to the picture because I think a picture is worth a thousand words, and we'll just talk from the pictures in terms of the impact. Let me just set the stage for what you're looking at, because then this is consistent as we move from one area to the other. The far purple value is the overall improvement in for the particular waiting time or continuation. Then the blue is how the agency did if they were in that low area, so they were 25th percentile or less. The red is for when they were in the 75th percentile or higher, and then this kind of other slightly rose color is where they were in the middle. But what's interesting here is that for waiting time, what you're seeing is that if the staff had a perception that the executive sponsor was more engaged in the process in the interest circle arm, they had slightly better performance than the overall. But more importantly, there seemed to be a huge difference in terms of how well they did in the interest circle arm if they didn't sense that there was a lot of executive sponsor support. When you looked at the combination arm, you're seeing that staff perceived that there is, you had two things going on here that's a little strange that we're trying to figure out, is that there's a low staff perception of sustainability propensity is about the same as the high. So there appears to be a sense that staff who sense that we're going to sustain change or we're not going to sustain change do about as well, but they do better than that group in the middle, and we're not quite sure why that is. When you look at some of the organizational moderators, again, you see the for the geographic area, what's interesting here is that non-urban agencies are performing a lot better in that interest circle arm as it relates to improvements in waiting time. And then when you look at accreditation in the learning session, the non-accredited organizations are the ones that seem to be doing better in the learning session arm as compared to those that were accredited. When we look at continuation, you see some of these changes here. For example, if the staff had a perception that there was not a lot of change leader involvement, they really did a whole lot worse overall in that combination arm than normal. But there wasn't really a whole lot of difference. All of these agencies, regardless of the perception, didn't really have a significant positive improvement. When you look at the overall sustainability perception in the intracircle arm, again, if there was a low perception that they were going to sustain change, they kind of maintained a flat line. But otherwise, there's just a difference in terms of, like, didn't get quite as worse, especially for those that are in the high perception. Outside pressure, again, if there was a sense that there was no outside pressure to change in the intracircle arm, so they were changing because they felt they needed to improve continuation, their rate of change was, closer to flat line versus the other ones over time. And then interestingly, the agencies that had more CEOs in 5 years actually did slightly better in terms of continuation. And this could have been just because there are maybe new people coming in with new ideas. But again, we're not quite sure. Some of the limitations is that the staff were responding anonymously to these surveys, so we don't really know why they chose what they did. So we just have to go with their perceptions. It also doesn't address changes. These moderators were assessed at multiple points in time. We're not looking at that. Also, Andy and Kyle both mentioned that we had several intervention periods, 6 months for waiting time, 6 months for continuation, 6 months for admissions, and we're not really looking at the impact of the moderator in these different time periods, and that could be offer some explanation as to why some things are significant and some are not. And then we looked at the average improvement, not the net change. Some of our next steps is we're going to build off of the main outcomes model. We're going to include some of the significant moderators as predictors in a logistic regression and see what impact it has on the waiting time and continuation. We need to evaluate how moderator definitions might influence outcomes and explore how the moderators influence the outcomes across these different time periods. And then maybe to understand why a particular moderator impacts one outcome but not another. We had this example of a number of CEOs in the last 5 years. Well, it had an impact for continuation but not for waiting time in the coaching arm. So I think with that, I'll open it up for any questions.